Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Business Exam Room podcast brought to you by the company doctors. I'm Eileen Frayer, along with the president and CEO, Randy McKinley. Today, we've delivered 53 successful business turnarounds and counting. Our senior team has a combined 115 years of hands-on business expertise and includes a PhD, a marketing expert, IT specialist, a media PR professional, a former bank president, and Randy, a turnaround guru with more than 25 years of hands-on experience with Fortune 100 companies, right down to mom and pops. In this podcast, we're going to turn on the bright light, shine it on the business exam room table to look at something practiced daily by some of the biggest influencers, from Oprah Winfrey to the founder of Panda Express, Andrew Chern, and that is meditative breathing. Our guest, Mondar Opti, knows the power of meditation. He not only teaches it, but he's an award-winning social entrepreneur for creating a learning program at Shell Oil that taught workers meditation techniques to foster innovation. He left Shell and is now the founder and executive director of the nonprofit Cities for Peace, committed to spreading peace and mental well-being. And Mondar, can you explain a little more for people who are listening who maybe have never performed meditation or any breathing exercises? Explain what it is and what it does for you.
Meditation simply means the art of doing nothing, right? So you are just in your natural state. And then second question people will have is, oh no, but my mind goes all over the place. As a teacher, then my role is to ask you, who said that is bad? That is where if you want to learn meditation, then you need to find a good teacher, because there are some concepts that we have all learned or read or used apps that are just concepts. Your mind has a natural ability to run all over the place if you allow it to run, right? So if you allow it, just say, mind, go wherever you want. If you allow that, you will realize it doesn't go anywhere because it gets confused, and that gives you the glimpse of, oh, wow. And so meditation is just being in that state of, oh, wow. Right? In this moment, everything is allowed. You are not chasing anything. You are not chasing your thoughts. You are observing your thoughts. You are witnessing your thoughts. And that is when the mind, after a little bit of time and practice, is able to go into that space which is called nothingness, or, you know, silence, whatever it is called. But there is a skillful way of going into that silent part of your own existence.
It sounds like it's clearing the mind.
Only one subtle difference: we are not sitting for meditation with that, oh, I'm now going to clear my mind.
Right. So, but it just naturally happens, I would think, in that process.
Correct. It naturally happens. For example, you know, when you want to fall asleep at night, if you keep saying, Eileen, fall asleep, Eileen, fall asleep, Eileen, go to sleep, you will never sleep. So this mind, the law of the mind is completely opposite to the law of the body, where you have to put effort. If you need muscles, you need effort. The law of the mind is effortlessness, letting go. And when you let go, the result of which is better concentration, better clarity,
more creativity,
more, of course, intuitive thought, right? Have you had that experience? You are looking for your keys, where are my keys? But then if you let go and you just, you know, are not thinking about your keys, then suddenly, oh yes, that's where it is, right? So that is where it is, like, you let go, and the letting go is skillfully done. That is called meditation. So that is where we have to educate people of what is and what is not. People are yearning for it. The very purpose of our life is peace and happiness. If you analyze everything that we do, we go to school, we get a job, we buy a house, we have kids. If you ask people, why are you doing it? Why do you have a job? Say, oh no, because I need to raise a family. Okay, why are you raising a family? Oh, because I don't know, I'll be more happy. So if you drill down, if you drill down absolutely any activity we do, you will realize that it is for being happy, being peaceful, because that is our nature. That is what we are seeking. And when we are not happy, when we are not peaceful, when we are not contented, sadly, this is what creates violence. Either we hurt ourselves,
yep,
or we go out and hurt other people through our emails that we write, actions that we do. It's because we are also hurt, and we have never taken the time to unhurt and heal from our trauma and be peaceful. Okay. Why would a person hurt someone?
Absolutely. And why, with the pandemic and with the civil unrest that we've seen in many of our major cities, I mean, stress levels, as you know, are through the roof right now. And with many people working at home still virtually, they don't have that
that person-to-person contact. What would you say, or what can a manager do to make sure that their employees are okay, or how to improve the well-being of their workers?
It's a very profound question that you're asking. I'm taking a pause because this world of virtual working is not going to change overnight, right? We don't know how many more months. So a manager who is concerned needs to look at, like, how is this going to affect the productivity, business responsibilities of your own team? If mental health is an issue, most people are not going to raise their hand and say, "Sir, I think I have mental health issues."
That's right.
Right. So that is where I think this virus has created an opportunity for us to proactively provide mental health and well-being solutions for mental hygiene. I think we have to help people that we can influence, you know, meditation, because you can learn it over Zoom. People should be looking at tools that can help them manage their emotions. If you have any influence, you don't have to be a manager even, right? So several of my students, they also work, I teach these days online. Several of my students have also arranged these sessions, 60-minute introduction to meditation for their own team. And there is not a single person that, "Dude, you wasted my time." This pandemic has taught me a few things. One, I need to take care of myself. Even though I meditate every day, I need to take even more care of myself. Because if I don't take care of myself, how can I teach my students? So that self-care needs to be the cornerstone of your whole day. Like, how much time are you giving for your own self-care? And then there is no one way to self-care, right? So you do whatever is good for you. Second type of caring I have learned is, if something happens to me, who's going to help me? Not the government, my neighbor. My relative.
Very true.
You know, friends that I, childhood friends that I'm here with. How much time I have spent to reconnect my bond with the people that are in my world. And the third level of caring is the wider world, like, because it's a connected village. It was China's problem. We saw it. We saw on TV. Then it became Italy's problem. We saw it. Spain, we saw it. Then it became LA, like LA County. Oh my God. That was for me a wake-up call that it's a connected world and everything is connected with everything else.
Now we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Mondar is also the producer and director of the documentary film called From India with Love. It follows six people, victims of violence, who take part on a journey to India, inspired by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who also studied nonviolence by traveling to India. The film shows the dramatic transformation of those six individuals. That work is part of Mondar's commitment to spread peace and mental well-being in communities and within companies. He's putting out a challenge to business leaders. We'll hear more about that and take a look at the business of peace. That's coming up right after this.
Mandar Upti, the executive director for Cities for Peace, provides leadership training to corporations and individuals. He uses meditation practices to improve mental health and well-being. His next virtual class, which is free, is June 16th, and his advanced leadership class, Mindful Leadership, 22nd through the 25th. All funds raised support the nonprofit Cities for Peace. For more information or to sign up for the upcoming workshops, we have set up a link on our website, thecompanydoctors.com. thecompanydrs.com. Click on charity and improve your mental health and well-being today.
Better profits, reduce taxes, increase cash flow. Do you wish you could get results like that? Well, you can. Today, we have helped 68 companies and counting make more money with our bookkeeping and accounting services and best practices. How do we do it? Simple. We're a team of business professionals who have run businesses. We are certified professional bookkeepers, which is rare, and business accountants. We use our proprietary tools to get a 360-degree view of your business, to find ways, cut costs while making your books easy to understand, plus government and bank ready at all times. At Insecure Virtual Platforms Key Technology, we can execute all parts of bookkeeping and accounting seamlessly anywhere. And we give you access to our complete library of critical business competency courses free of charge. As you can see, we are the next level in bookkeeping and accounting for small and mid-sized businesses. If you have part-time bookkeeping and accounting, or full-time, or something in the middle, give us a call and do a comparison before you hire another employee or a bookkeeper down the street. Schedule your complimentary business review by visiting thecompanydoctors.com. thecompanydrs.com. Click on bookkeeper and then there's appointment scheduler, and let's get your company the real value it deserves today, because you'll be shocked how inexpensive quality bookkeeping and accounting can be for you.
Now, I met Mondar a few years ago in Los Angeles when I was reporting for KABC TV, and I did a story about his program called Cities for Peace that brought together former LA gang members and LAPD officers to practice meditation and breathing techniques. It was kind of a boot camp on peace. Everyone we spoke with was transformed by the experience, and they took what they learned back to their communities.
You know, the LAPD had hosted a premiere of my film, my documentary film, and we had about 500 people in the theater in Paramount Studios.
And that was from India with Love.
It was from India with Love, yes. The community members of South Central had reached out to me asking me the techniques that the participants in the documentary are doing. How can we learn those techniques? That was their question. So I had stayed back. Deputy Chief Kato, so he was at that time the head of that station, 77th South Bureau. He is a Japanese American, right? So he's familiar with this whole Buddhist way of living, inner world, right? So I asked him, like, give me the worst of the worst neighborhoods in the 77th division. I would like to see if I can make a difference. If I can, it would be like great. In my adult life, I would have a story to tell, like I made a difference. He gave me this neighborhood of Harvard Park, which is about 15 minutes from that 77th station. And I realized that people are just traumatized. So even though, you know, opposite gangs like Crips, the Bloods, the victims of the gangs, parents, teachers, young people, and the cops, they are seemingly opposite stakeholders. They probably have nothing in common. But through these stakeholder interviews that I was doing, I found that, my God, everybody is traumatized, and that can be the reason why they can come together. Little did they know that once they come together and they heal from their trauma, the natural step is they would want to promote peace, because that is your nature. So that was the breakthrough. Like, we had created an 8-week program, a boot camp on peace with these opposite stakeholders. And at the end, a graduation ceremony. Like, there was homework, classwork, an exam, and a graduation. So that was, I would say, the humblest thing I've done in my adult life, which Eileen came to that graduation ceremony. I still watch it and I tear up. Like, wow, what did we achieve?
Some great connections.
That program we have repeated 6 times in LA. So I have
taught
about 250 community members and cops I have trained. And then last year, because, you know, the George Floyd murder happened and the social unrest happened, this program then got pulled into many communities that we have now made a difference. Seattle, Portland, Minneapolis, Rochester, New York. People are looking for healing themselves and healing other people. Like, who wants violence? The sad part, Randy, is people wait for an act of violence to activate themselves, right? We say, I live in a gated community. I go to Starbucks. It's never going to happen to me. And I think that is what we have all been like exposed during this pandemic here. Because violence doesn't look at skin color, doesn't look at your bank balance. It doesn't look at your political views. Who do you support, right? So that is where if we redefine violence, that, you know, it's domestic abuse, bullying, school shootings, global terrorism, everything we can experience anytime. We have to activate the people who are privileged, who don't have any stress, right? And we have to activate the leaders who have a lot of influence and use this pandemic as drive a truck through the door and bring mental health in every household. We have to inspire the leaders of today that mental health, don't wait. Just assume it's there and just provide solutions.
Well, you're giving tools for people to deal with mental health.
I would say I'm one of the thousands of people who are doing this work. So I will take your reference to me for the general tribe of yoga meditation.
No. That's fair.
And coming from the corporate culture, I would say I would like to challenge the people who are in leadership roles today, like police chiefs, for example, mayors, for example, yeah, business executives, for example. If you ask them, because we have done that at Shell, what do you do for the mental health of your staff, police officers? They will say, oh, we have a suicide hotline. They can dial 1-800 number, right? And then we have a toolkit. Now you ask them, what toolkit? Oh, this nice handout, which has call this number, nutrition class, once a month wellness class. And I think that is where we are in search of soulful leaders who will go beyond what I just mentioned. How can a 1-800 number be a tool? We are looking for leaders who are watching or listening to this podcast, people who have achieved it all. If you want to leave a legacy today, you cannot do it with a human touch. You have to bring the human back into the conversation, right? You have to go beyond the suit and the tie. Or the job description. Like, am I helping the individual grow to the next level of their own humanity? And that is where a leader who has achieved it all, this is the next step, because there is no higher purpose. There is no higher purpose than peace.
Thank you for putting that challenge out there to our leaders.
No, I'm with you, Mandar. You know, the thing I think people miss in business is what you're talking about is your work more than for money. Money is not the number one motivator when you go into a job, as you know. It's all those ancillary characteristics and things that are brought, and it's a feeling. By doing meditation and doing these things, you're lifting people up. Your business gets lifted up, and the productivity, and you hear the word synergy. And I talk about synergy a lot. It's where 2 + 2 is now 16. It could be 24. It's because now people go out and they start helping each other. You're creating a culture. By doing what you're talking about, teaching these tools, it actually changes a culture. It changes a culture of an organization. And then these people want to be in that organization.
I'm going to give one more nudge to the people who are listening, who are leaders of influence and innovators, that what I have been thinking about last 2 years, Randy, is my corporate background, innovation background, and now last few years, my peace activism background. Is there a way I can merge them? So that is what I have started, an innovation lab on the business for peace. There is a business for violence. There is a business of drugs. Let me explain the business of violence. So in the city of Los Angeles, for one homicide, can you guess what is the taxpayer dollar that gets spent?
I'd be afraid to guess. I mean, $100,000.
It's $1 million per homicide. So just Google for cost of violence calculator. And it's a research study. It's out there. You can plug in the numbers. City of Los Angeles, one murder, homicide, $1 million taxpayer dollars spent. Add on top of it, burglary, rape, assault, bullying, right? All kinds of things. It's a multi-billion dollar business. This is the business of violence. If we can now think, can peace be profitable? That's a challenge that I give to the listeners of this show, especially if you are an entrepreneur, innovator, business executive. That's what my innovation lab is working with, is can we figure out how you can promote peace, compassion, kindness, happiness, whatever that may be, such that there is a business model around it also. People who provide education to schools, why can't we create a curriculum on peace education? It's the need of the hour, demand, supply. So that's what my Cities for Peace initiative is doing, is we work with cities where there is violence and we help them promote peace so that we can reduce the money that is spent on violence. Even though the business for peace is obvious, not many businesses are taking ownership for it because they think reducing violence, promoting happiness is not their job. It's the job of the government sector or the NGO sector. And so that is where, while I was at Shell as a game changer, as I told you, I did invest Shell game changer money in proof of concepts on the business for peace. And so that was where I got into this rabbit hole that, oh my God, there is a business of peace. I'll give you one example if you are okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
There is violence in Nigeria that we all know. I have actually experienced that violence as a petroleum engineer when I used to visit Shell. When there is violence in the communities in rural Nigeria, the bad actors will siphon the oil from the pipelines. And there is a huge black market for that oil. So that is where I started thinking about, hey, can I promote peaceful neighborhoods? So I started creating a coalition of the oil companies because, you know, everybody's pipelines are affected. So we had thought about like create a coalition of oil and gas companies and actively promote peace, democracy, happiness. It's a good thing to do, but creates business value, no loss of revenue. So that is how we started like using, our corporate innovation skills to look at sustainable development goal number 16, which is peace. If you are in any company, look at your supply chain. Look, if you are working for Tesla, right? If you are working in the batteries industry,
right?
Where are the raw materials coming from? Their raw materials are coming from countries that have huge violence, huge child abuse. And it's not just your social responsibility, because companies will say, oh, we are investing, we are giving money out. That CSR has no meaning. It's just, you know, lip service.
Yeah, that's the easy way out. Just throwing a buck over there.
Yeah, we donate to the foundation.
Absolutely.
That's the easy way out. But if you can reimagine, can I bring violence down and it helps my business value? And then I can even invest that business value in that community. So it becomes a business model.
It's all connected.
Yes.
Yeah. I think all we need is enlightened leaders, enlightened brands, enlightened police chiefs that want to do something different. And that's what the need of the hour. The pandemic is like shouting at us. Wake up, activate yourself.
People are in desperate need of ways to go deal with their mental health. And by doing this, you are going to create peace, you know, because you're clearing the mind, you're getting rid of the anger, you're getting rid of the frustration. It's a whole mindset change. And it's just the sooner you can get the tools out to everybody, then the better off we are.
Yeah, I think so. I agree with you. And that is a calling for me. I don't get excited about teaching yoga meditation to people of privilege. I have done that. So these days, my calling is to go to communities that don't have a yoga studio, that don't have any wisdom of meditation. Zero. They have never heard of it, but they need it the most. Think about like victims of violence. The vicious cycle, hurt people, hurt others. That's what people say in the hood. But you know, one of the story of hope, like last year, I taught now a very good friend, Philip. He has spent 40 years in prison. 40 years in prison.
Wow.
And after doing my program, he said, hurt people hurt others. But Mandar, healed people will always heal others. For me, like training Philip as an ambassador of peace, where he is now teaching his community breath and meditation practices. He had no experience with any yoga, any meditation before. But just within a few experiences of breath and meditation work, he made a connection with violence and breath. He said whenever he had angry thoughts, if he had learned how to calm his mind down, he wouldn't have done the things that he ended up doing.
It's amazing. Yeah.
You know, that is a story of hope for me. Like, okay, if I find and teach 10 such Philips in LA, we are done.
Absolutely.
And that's what power is. Like these people that you are saying in these neighborhoods like South Central LA, they are just such awesome people. They just haven't received the access to the tools and wisdom that many of us take for granted.
Well, Mandar, you're doing a great job. And I really appreciate you sharing with us and inspiring us and telling us or teaching us how we can take better care of ourselves. And also in turn, you know, how showing us how it could not just help us personally, but also professionally. Thank you.
Thank you for all you are doing as well. You know, these experiences are always good. You do these podcasts. It's a thankless job. You don't know that your podcast creates. But hopefully, you know, we'll find those kindred spirits that are listening.
Mandar Apte is the founder and executive director of the nonprofit Cities for Peace. For more information, if you're interested in upcoming leadership workshops or to learn about meditation practices to improve mental health and well-being, we've set up a link to Cities for Peace on our website, The Company Doctors. That's thecompanydrs.com. Until next time, wishing good health to you, your family, and your business.
The information provided is intended solely for educational and cannot be used as a substitute for professional advice and or information, as circumstances will vary from person to person and company to company. You should not act or rely upon information without seeking professional advice. Do not attempt any of the suggestions, actions, solutions, remedies, or instructions discussed on this podcast without first consulting with a qualified professional. The materials are not intended to be, nor do they constitute actionable professional advice. Transmission of this information is not intended to create a professional-client relationship between the company doctors and you.